biggest concern is I just don't think it's speaking to as many people as it should. And that line is this, that He is with you. That's one of the issues that the world struggles with today. It's one of the issues that many people struggle with today. So today, before we ever even begin, we're going to pray. We're going to pray because what good does it do for us to come here and have a good time and enjoy the music and enjoy the drama and never learn a thing or nobody be saved? It was all in vain. So if you would bow with me. Lord, we thank You for even allowing us to come into Your house tonight, Lord. Lord, we know that You're not limited by these walls or these doors. God, we know that Your Spirit is free, and that, Lord, You give it freely, Lord, if we just accept it. Lord, we know that You hung on a cross and died on our behalf. Lord, we also know that You have things for us to do in this life. Lord, I know that You require faith from us. Lord, I know that You require greatness, that You require righteousness, but Lord, because we can't have it, Lord, You come and hung on a cross for our behalf that we could spend eternity with You. And Lord, as I stand up here today and I look at all these young people, God, I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to their heart today. Lord, that as they come through the door, if they did not bring You with them, Lord, they'd be able to leave with You. God, I thank You for all of it. Lord, I thank You for all the young people that are willing to come up here and sing. Lord, all the people that are willing to come act and be a part of the drama, Lord, and share their talents with the rest of the world, Lord, so that You could be glorified. God, and if anything be accomplished this over the next 2 days, Lord, pray that You be glorified. God, we pray for You to work. Lord, we want You to work in people's lives. Lord, I thank You for everyone that's participated and helped put this together. Lord, they're selfless. Lord, and I appreciate them. Lord, I thank You for being around people just like that. God, thank You for everything You're going to do. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, tonight I want to get started with the important thing that I mentioned just a few moments ago. He is with you. He is with you. We'll look at those words carefully. We'll look at them closely. We'll look at them tenderly. And we'll understand exactly what that means. That's not what tonight's message is, but it's what we're going to speak of here briefly. Because the truth is, some people tonight come through that set of doors out there completely alone. And they come all the way up here, and they sat down, and they've experienced just a little bit of God's Holy Spirit. They've experienced some of it. They've experienced just a glimpse of it. And because they were able to worship with You and worship together, they got just enough of it to know that it's real. But there's another type of person that come here tonight. When they come through the door, God came with them because He lives inside of them. Now, how do we know that this is true? Because it's right here. I want you to take your Bible if you've got it with you. I want you to put it in your hand. It's like this. I want you to hold it up like this. I want you to hold it up. Would you hold it up? All right. Thank you for bringing your book. I'm going to show you what else we're going to do. Where is Will? Will is my helper. Will, would you help me pass out Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to get you one. And we're going to go slow enough tonight that we can stay on top of the pages so that we can... We want to be able to follow along and stay in tune with God's Word. Why is it important? Because there's plenty of things in the world that need answering. Plenty. Plenty of questions that need answering. The problem is, where do the answers come from? Well, they come from the Word of God. Me and a man that's sitting in the back of this room over here, Tommy's about 50 now, I guess. We both had a burden for the youth of the world. And Tommy said there shouldn't be a reason that we can't buy Bibles and pass them out to people that don't have one with them so that they too can share. and read along with us. Now, we're going to go slow enough that if you can't find where it is, lean to your neighbor, and I'll give you enough time, and you get there, okay? We're not going to put it on the screen tonight. A lot of times we put the verses up here on the screen, but I want you to open the book and hold on to them. Now, I know that you guys are weird, and you like to worship and serve in the neon lights, and you like it to be a little bit darker. You like this atmosphere? Okay, do you want me to turn the lights on brighter? Raise your hands if you do. Raise your hand if you like it just like it is. All right, we're not going to change it. We're not going to change it. If you change your mind, you let me know, and I'll turn the lights on. All right, everybody got a book? Anybody need a book that don't have one? All right, let's get started tonight. This is what we're going to talk about. We looked and we were careful that we made sure that we didn't miss it. And the songs, the way the songs put it out, the way Matthew sang the songs, the way Alana sang the songs, the way Evan sings the songs, the way Emma sings the songs, and the way Sarah sang them too. I even saw the drummer, Jackson, mouthed a few words. And without a doubt, Dakota mentioned a few too. There is only one name in the entire world in which a person can be saved. You know that, right? We've heard it. What is that name? No, listen. I don't believe you when you say that. It's like the old baseball coach that used to say, who's number one? Isn't it supposed to be we are? Who's ever played football in here? You played ball? How long have you been playing ball?
7 years.
7 years. How long have you been playing? I know how long you've been playing ball. You come out of the womb playing ball. Yeah, you're 7 years old and you've been playing for 8 years. So, but you come out of the womb playing football. But in a football huddle, when a coach wants to get everybody on board, he's going, who's going to win? And the team eventually says, we are. And everybody's excited about it. Everybody's excited about who's going to win. Now, let me ask you, there's only one name in the entire universe in which a person can be saved. What's his name?
Jesus.
Okay, man, you guys need some coffee. Coffee, energy drink, something. You got to wake up. There's only one name in which a man must be saved. There's only one way to live your life. There's only one truth to live by. And there's undoubtedly only one life for you to have. I want to let that soak in for just a minute. There's one name to be saved by. And you're only going to get to go through this fleshly body one time. And there's not going to be a do-over. Who's ever hit a foul ball when you had two strikes on you? You stay in the batter's box, don't you? You ever hit a foul ball, have two strikes on you, and praise the Lord? You ever had a pitcher that was good enough you knew you couldn't really hit them that good, but you could keep on fouling them off until one of you got tired? So you got to just stay in there, right? You got another at bat. Well, see, life's not like that. You get one shot at it. You get one life. Now, God is merciful. God is graceful. God helps you through that life. But there aren't any do-overs. There's just not. There is only one life. Remember, I'm going to give you those words again. There is only one way to live your life, and that's for the Lord, if you're going to achieve heaven. There's only one truth to live by, and that's His truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. And there's only one life that you're going to have, and it needs to be His. Now, the reason I even bring all that up is because there's a man, and we're going to talk about him a lot this weekend. And I've talked with you about him a lot before. And his name's Paul. Raise your hand if you know some things about Paul. You know some things about Paul? How much of the New Testament do you think Paul wrote? Anybody? Who just said that? How much? Around two-thirds. If you look at the total wording, it's about two-thirds. All right, if you take the Gospels and you set them aside and you look at the rest of the New Testament, Paul wrote most of it. Paul wrote most of it. Now, Paul was a man that was in touch with God. Paul was a man that spoke with Jesus personally in a very, very short little window, and it changed his world. Paul was a man that if he come through the doors tonight, he would undoubtedly be bringing God with him. and he would come in here and we would enjoy his company. Now Paul knew that Jesus would lead him by his Holy Spirit, and he only knew that there was one way. Now, we come into a place like this, we come in on a night like this, and we're Americans. We've got the best society and the best culture there's ever been, right? But we come into a place like this, and sometimes what we do is we bring a little bit of spoiled brat in with us. Who's a spoiled brat? Hey, praise God for honesty. All right, who has an iPhone? Raise your hand if you paid for it. See my point? I got one. Raise your hand if you paid for it. All right, I got two of you. Good job, young men. Good job. He's an adult. He paid for it. But the majority of you have an iPhone and you didn't pay for it. How many of you pay rent? Nobody? Which one of you raised your hand? One of you better not, because you're mine. Well, got one that pays rent. Okay, got one that pays rent. Hey, he's growing up fast, isn't he? How many of you pay car insurance that are driving? Okay, with you. Dakota, I think we get it. He's an adult. All right, how many of you have to buy into the grocery supply into your home? One, two, Oreos don't count, Matthew. You are an Oreo lover. Now, he does buy lunch every day at work. I see him do it. All right. How many of you have to purchase all your clothes? How many of you have an abundance of Christmas presents every year that you didn't buy? Oh, man. Yeah, you see? How many of you understand that you are spoiled? When you put us in comparison with the rest of the world, we got it made. We got it made. God has blessed us so tremendously. And what happens in today's youth, and I'm so concerned about this, we're going to talk about it here in just a minute, is we take it for granted. We look at all the many things that are given to us, and they're poured out on us over and over and over. Just like Saul, who became Paul, was. He was educated. He was a Jew. He was also Greek. He had it all. He had dual citizenship. He was smart. He was part of the religious sect that ruled. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. People listened to every word that he said. He would stand before arguments. As they began to persecute Christians, they looked for his approval, whether they would be willing to go along with it as long as Saul said it was okay. He was spoiled. He had it all. He's just like you and I. If we don't like something, we just go to the next thing, right? We just go to the next thing. It doesn't break our heart. It doesn't destroy us. We just move to the next thing. How many of you have ever had mom and dad buy you a car and you didn't like it? That ever happened? See, I got somebody raising their hand. She don't want to be the only one. And she says, I want another one. And they get it. Emily, raise your hand. Emily, yeah, go ahead. You just got another one. You just got another one. It's only a 2019. You see? We're blessed. Saul was blessed. But when Saul met Jesus, he recognized something very important. He recognized that he was lost. Saul recognized that without Christ, all those blessings would come to an abrupt end when he took his last breath, and that he would burn in hell for the remainder of eternity, which is never ending. He knew that. So what did he do when he met Christ? He went at it full bore. Wherever he went, he spoke of the Lord. Whatever he did, he honored God. He loved the Lord. He didn't disobey the Lord. Did he sin? Yes. We're all sinners. But he did not fail to honor God with his life, no matter the blessings. In fact, he went from place to place to place and asked for money to carry on the cause of Christ. And God gave it to him. So he went from being spoiled to recognizing his blessings to serving the God that spoke to him for just a moment. We have a hard time serving God who speaks to us daily because we're spoiled. You know, Paul wanted to go somewhere one time, and he was bound and determined to travel to Jerusalem because God had instructed him through his Holy Spirit to do so. And his people, if you'll flip over in your Bible, let's turn to Acts 21. His people knew that he was going to go into Jerusalem, but they were afraid for him. It would be kind of like if Luke Holcomb was going to go down to Moreland Avenue at 10 o'clock at night and play on the basketball courts. We would be frightened for Luke. Nobody goes to Moreland Avenue at 10 o'clock and leaves. They leave in a body bag. So if Luke was going to go down to Moreland Avenue and play basketball by himself at 10 o'clock at night, I guarantee you everybody in this room would beg him not to, wouldn't they? See, Paul was in a similar situation. He said, I've got to go to Jerusalem. And they said, no. You're a Christian now. If you go to Jerusalem, they'll kill you. And you will die. Let's read this. Acts 21, verse 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to, what's that word? Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day, and the next day that we were of Paul's company departed, and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. As we did tarry there for many days, then came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now I want you to hear this. A prophet named Agabus. He's already went to an evangelist house, so Paul has surrounded himself with who? God's people. Just like you are here tonight. Just like you are here tonight. How many of you in this room would say, I'm God's people? I'm God's people. You ever heard anybody call you family? Oh, those are good people. That's what I want about. I want to be good around good people. And the same man, well, I'm sorry, I got out of line. And a prophet named Agabus, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and wrapped it around his hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go into Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am now ready not to be bound only, but also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. What are we reading here? What are we seeing? You know, we often think that being a Christian is going through the fuzzy funds and fruits of life. And as long as everything's right financially, and as long as everything's right in our life, and we got the right house and the right clothes, and we go to church, that we're living the greatest Christian life. But Paul says something here completely different. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem because that's the way that the Spirit of God has sent me. And the people come and the prophet come and said, whoever's wearing this girdle, they're going to get him. And Paul says, I'm going. He said, don't make me cry. He said, what do you mean making me cry? He said, I've got to go and do the will of the Lord. Now the reason that we bring this up is tonight, we're going to go through this moment by moment. Tonight, we saw a drama up here. Everybody enjoying the drama so far? The drama's going to tell us a story. The drama's going to tell us a story, and it's going to go through moment by moment by moment. And it's going to walk us through this. But tonight, we had a young lady, soft-spoken, sweet, kind, come and talk to Pete, who was inside the gate. And then you had two knuckleheads, Kyle and Trevor. They're like normal boys, just like all you are in here. And they're poking and clowning and pushing and joking around and saying some smart aleck things back and forth. They're even littering. You saw Trevor throw a water bottle and get Kyle in trouble. But at the very end of that, Pete told them, he said, "Hey, boys, it's safe in here. You'll come on inside the gate." But neither Trevor nor Kyle moved. They just stood there. See, the way of Christ is like a gate. The way of Jesus is like a gate. I want to take your Bible. Hold it in your hand. Let's read it. Let's go over to Hebrews. It's going to be way at the back. It's going to be before James. I'm going to turn it over to the second chapter. We're going to look at that second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to hear about it again tonight at my house. We're going to sit around the fire. And we're going to get in small groups. And we're going to talk about it. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Now I'm going to stop us right there for a minute because we're going to read a little bit. How many have ever heard that Jesus is the only way to heaven? You ever heard it? Raise your hand if you've heard it. Have you ever heard that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Now let's read that scripture again. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I know that He has the way. I know that He's the truth, and I know that He's given me one life. Am I paying attention to it like the Bible's telling me to? Verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if the neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" Lord, let me tell you the ugly, ugly truth that tonight could result in. If there's somebody in the house tonight that is lost, and they know it, and they choose to one more time walk away from the Lord, the judgment will be more harsh. You know, nobody says that anymore. I'll tell you why. Because people don't like to hear it. But it doesn't mean it's not true. When we stand before Jesus Christ and we know that we've heard the things that He has for us to hear, yet we respond not, the judgment is worse. Has mom and daddy ever told you, "I told you don't do this, dot, dot, dot"? You ever heard that? "I told you." You heard that? It's almost worse when mom and dad get upset when they say, "I've told you." Usually when I got in trouble, I'd been told about 25 times. And finally, when the straw that broke the camel's back come through, I got what they call a good old-fashioned whooping. You ever got a whooping? You ever got a whooping? Raise your hand if you ain't never had a spanking. Shame on you. Shame. You are just a princess. My wife's up there. She ain't never had a spanking either. She is a princess. They didn't do anything wrong. I guarantee you, for every spanking you didn't get, I got four of them. I got four of them. But they were all done justly and in the right manner. Let me tell you, When you and I hear the words of Christ, if we choose to ignore them, we are heaping piles of coal even on our own head. Christ took the cross for you and I, and he took it so seriously that he began to speak to us through spirit. And when we ignore it, we've neglected every possible way that there could have possibly been other than him forcing it on you and me. And because he loves us, he won't do it. Now, God has always offered kindness to his people. Turn over in the book of Psalms if you can get there for me. If you don't, beat me there. I'm just going to read it. Psalms 103. We're going to go to verse 14. It's a big old book in the Old Testament. Psalms 103, verse 14. This is what God thinks about you and me. It says four here. I'll give you a second. Psalms 103, verse 14. The book of Psalms is about that thick in your Bible. It's a big one. The psalmist and David wrote all these songs to the Lord, and they're beautiful. Psalms 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. It's not that God is going to be upset at us if we're not perfect. No, it's not at all. He just asks you to remember what's already been preached to you. He remembers that we are broken. He remembers that we're fragile. He remembers that you and I are not perfect. He remembers we're not even close. I mean, look at me. I'm 41 years old and lost half of my hair. You know what? That comes from stress. Don't laugh. Part of you are the reason. You know? How about you? How about you? You're starting to age. Some of you already realize it. But God is not looking for my perfection. He's not looking for my beauty. He's not looking for my intellect. He's looking to see if I'll accept that gate right there that we're going to call salvation. He's looking to see if you and I will accept the gate and open the gate and live a life for him. Because the word's been preached and will be without excuse. Many people will not accept it. There'll be people in this room that will probably not accept it. Look around you. There will be a lot of you that'll go to heaven. But if you go by the numbers, it's likely that some people in this room will reject Christ their entire life. That doesn't mean it has to be that way. But just the truth speaks for itself. Some of people will truly accept Christ as their own, and they'll live a life from here until they die and wake up on the other side. Just like that. They'll shut their eyes in death here and they'll wake up there. See, God's offering salvation. The gate is open today. Look at this gate. Very simple, not complex. The gate's not the important part. It's the choice that we make when it's presented to us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, back to the New Testament. I'm trying to wear your fingers out. How am I doing? All right. This is how you learn where you're at in your Bible. This is how you learn where the books are. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. No, actually, chapter 6, I apologize. Verse 2. 6-2. Second Corinthians 6, verse 2. You there? For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is that accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What's Paul talking about? Paul's not talking about a delay in time. Paul's not talking about when you get your college degree. Paul's not talking about when you get your first house, when you meet the right woman, when you meet the right man. Paul's not talking about when you got money. Paul's not waiting on your life is perfect until you begin to serve and worship God. Paul said, today is the day for you to be saved. Why is it important? Because we always feel that life is going to look just like that. And right now it does. We feel that life always will have the option. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Suppose a man was elected president. Suppose that everybody behind him had an agenda. And the agenda was to pass an act that if the people that stood behind this pulpit right here could only preach every God, because if they preached one God, you would be considered exclusive, and therefore they would raise your taxes or shut the doors of the church. Seems crazy, right? Pay attention. Pay attention. And we feel like we got all the access to Jesus Christ there is. Let me tell you, if we were to take the personal lives of you, and if you never walk through those doors right there, how often do you seek Christ? Why the silence? If you never walk through the doors of the church, would you even open the Bible? And we feel like that we've always got access to this gate right here. It frightens me for your generation. Because if the church is going to survive, it's your generation that's going to do it. It's your generation that's going to spend countless hours studying what the message is going to be the next day. It's your generation that's going to spend countless hours playing songs until your fingers bleed to lead a worship ceremony. It's your generation that's going to go back and forth to the church 3 times the day before just to make sure that all the scenes are correct for the next event. It's your generation that's going to go into the kitchen and to prepare the food 3 hours before the people get there. It's your generation that's going to spend the time the day before vacuuming and cleaning so that people can come into the church and enjoy a service, maybe like this one. But if it's going to survive, your generation. And this is called D-Now. And D-Now stands for what? Discipleship now. Thank you for answering me. That means you're listening. I like that. Discipleship now. We're making disciples. There's some requirements. Disciple means you must be saved. What made Jesus' disciples so special? They answered the call of Christ. They didn't hide it. They weren't ashamed. They didn't blend reality and fiction. They just sought Christ. They had fully committed to Him. They chose to go the way that God had offered. I want y'all to pay really close attention to this play, because it's going to answer a lot of questions as we go over this tomorrow. The problem with it is kind of like if you look at what Trevor and Kyle were standing here. They had questions for people inside the gate, didn't they? And they were willing to conversate back and forth. They were willing to make accusations, weren't they? But nobody went through that gate. As long as they were out here, they still had freedom to make their own choice. How many of you like sweet potatoes? How many of you like sweet potato casserole? How many of you like macaroni and cheese? You're weird if you don't like macaroni and cheese, I'm telling you right now. I love macaroni and cheese. How many of you like radishes? Yeah, I agree. Those are gross. That is like hot dirt. It's gross. How many of you like barbecue? How many of you like Carolina vinegar barbecue? Yes, that's good stuff. I'll fight over that. How many of you like steak? How many of you like fruit snacks? Everybody. I got adults back there raising their hands. Fruit snacks are the bomb. Fruit snacks are the bomb. Everybody likes fruit snacks. And if I had it my way every day when I got up, you know what would be waiting on me? If I just had endless money and just people just to make me breakfast, I'd have 2 scrambled eggs, a little bit of bacon, a little bit of sausage, in a little bowl, all nice, and some fruit snacks, and a little bit of OJ, and some coffee. And that would be my breakfast every day. And then I would have dessert at some point, you know. Because I like, look, I didn't get like this because I don't eat dessert. Okay? So, I mean, this, I got lots of pies in this. So, the point is, we would create our own way, right? We create what we wanted to eat. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to who we live for, we often try to create our own way. And we don't feel like that, but it's the reality. We say, we'll worship when I want to. When's the last time that you've sat down on the edge of your bed and said, God, I just want to tell you how great you've been to me. Lord, I'm here to worship you and lift you up and praise you and tell you that I love you. When is the last time that you've sat down on the edge of your bed and said, God, I've got the most troubled life, but you've been consistent in my life. And I know it's you. And I'm looking forward to meeting you. Now, when's the last time that we've brought our wants to God? That's probably been a much more likely chance. We said, God, I want this boy in my life. I can't stand it without him. God, will you give him to me? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I've got to have that girl, Lord. Can she just be in my life? Because you guys are girl and boy crazy. It's crazy. It blows my mind. Y'all are very, very different than my generation. You got to have one. I got to have the right boy. I've got to have the right girl. But why did we not go to the edge of our bed and say, God, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. You're good enough to save my soul. Choose my mate. We begin to make it our way. We say, God, I don't want you to choose my mate. I want to pick my mate. And then you bless it. And we wonder why it all crashes down. Many people are creating their own ways. Sometimes you talk to people where I work and we begin to ask about different things. How's your life? How's things going? Oh, they're going great. How's your relationship with the Lord? It's pretty good. You know, I think I might get into heaven. I can tell you right now, it's wrong. You say, what do you do for a living? Well, I manage a wine and liquor company. And you're like, you know, you win. You've shut my mouth. I don't even know what to say at this point. Can't be my way. I can tell you right now. I'd look hard for a job before I'd work for a wine and liquor company. Because I know based upon the Word of God, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm not. Don't make your own way. Let God make your way. And ask Him to reveal it to you. Number two. You have a truly free choice to enter in this gate or to pass it by. It's another one of those things. We got choice, right? Who likes Welch's fruit snacks? Love them things. Number one on my list. Who likes the ones from Sam's that are like $2 for a million of them? I don't like those. I don't like them. Those weren't the $2 ones. Yeah, I don't like the, they're gross. It tastes like I'd rather eat the wrapper. They're not good at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's my choice. I get to go in. But let me tell you, there are people in this world that I run into. And they come see me like some of these guys now. Some of you know that Matthew and I work together. We meet the same people. And occasionally what we'll find is somebody will come in and the same car that wouldn't pass its emission test last year, because that's what I do for a living, won't pass this year. And it's funny because 3 years ago it wouldn't pass either. And then 4 years ago it wouldn't pass. And 5 years ago it wouldn't pass. 6 years ago it wouldn't pass. And you say, hey man, are you ever going to spend a dime on this car? Or are you always just going to limp by? Well, this program's a bunch of garbage. I'm like, no, what you're telling me is you're lazy. And then you see that they buy another car. And they buy a 21-year-old Kia that the blinkers don't work. Back in 2004, they didn't work. before some of you guys were born. And it won't pass emissions. And they think it's fine because the engine light doesn't work. Like, there's no engine light. Like, yeah, it's been on so long it's burned out. You don't know it. It's supposed to be on and you can't see it. And they're like, well, this program's a bunch of garbage. I'm like, you said that last time about the other piece of junk that you brought me. And then you find that these people buy those $2 for a million fruit snacks. And here's what's funny. I bet that dude's rich because he ain't going to spend a dime on nothing. That's his personality. That's what he does. That's his choice. That's his free will. His love is to have as much money as he can. But he never spends any of it. So what good does it do to have it? We have a choice in life. We have a choice whether we are or we are not going to serve him. Here's what's to understand. God is not forceful. And we take advantage of it. Bella, God's not forceful. He's not going to make you serve him, is he? Has he ever made you do it? And if he did, would you love him? I don't know. I feel like I may resent him for it. Wouldn't we? Wouldn't I resent God if he made me do it? Turn over to chapter 7 of John. Very last gospel. And I've got all these words printed out, but I think I'd just rather read it from the Word. John chapter 7. Let's look at verse 17. John 7:17, we truly have free will to enter or to pass it by. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Whew. Paul's talking on the subject directly. He's saying, you'll know. It ain't a problem whether it's you or him. You ain't got to struggle to find it. You'll figure it out. Anybody ever made a choice and they just had to have it and it turned out to be bad and wish they wouldn't have done it? Oh, yeah. Mine starts with one of those stick-on tattoos. You know, I just had to have one of those stick-on tattoos. Had to have it. You know, clean my arm like it said to. You remember it. You know, you clean your arm, right? You're supposed to use alcohol or something, get all anything on your skin off. And then what do? You lick the tattoo. And you stick it to the arm. And then you rub it. Well, this was the way my tattoo. Maybe this is why this went bad. So you rub it on your arm and you hold it for 10 minutes. I don't know what it was. And you just hold it on your arm. Yeah. And then you peel it off. And before you know it, you got an upside down Harley Davidson tattoo right on your arm.
Or you have a smeared mess all over your arm.
Well, this one didn't go that way. It was crystal clear. Yeah. Right here on my arm. And I thought, dang it! It's upside down! So I'm like, no, it didn't look cool. I wanted it to look cool, but it didn't. So I spent the next 30 minutes trying to rub a tattoo off that said, no! I'm hanging on. See, I had free will. I could put that tattoo on or not. It was a mistake. I didn't even think it out. Can I tell you right now that God's kind of like he's involved enough in your life and he loves you enough that he will give you whatever you want one way or another. If you want him, you can have him. But if you want him to be gone and you can make your own decisions, he'll let you do that too. Does that make sense? He'll let you do whatever you want to do. If you want to be guided, he'll let you. If you want to do it the wrong way, he'll let you do that. He protects his people, and he lets his people choose whether they'll spend eternity with him or they'll spend eternity separated from him. Today, if we're going to be disciples for Christ, you must make that decision. You must make that decision. Am I going to serve Him or am I going to do it my way? And there is no middle ground. People think, well, I'll just kind of blend it. No, you won't. You'll serve yourself like that because you choose when you'll serve God. It's not about Him. It's about you at that point. He has never forced any person to do anything. People have chosen to follow Him. Turn over to Matthew, the first gospel. 16:24. This is the verse right here that will separate the people who will and the people who will not. Matthew 16:24. Some of you probably know it by heart. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, the ones that have made up their mind to follow Him. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. It's a killer right there. Separated three quarters of the field right there. Three quarters of the field of Christians just fell off and said, I don't want Christianity. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it because if I'm not in charge, I don't want to do it. That's the cold, harsh, ugly reality of this world. Is when they see that Jesus requires 100% commitment. The majority of people say, no thanks, I'm out. Now they don't say those words literally. They show you the words. They show you the words. See, Jesus tells us not to have any other gods before Him, right? None. None. That means nothing is more important than Him. It actually says that men, our wives, should not be more important than Him. It says our family should not be important than Him. It says our job should not be important to Him. Our safety, our comfort, or anything else should never be more important than Him. He says, if you need safety, I got it. It's wrote up here on the wall in Greek. He says, I give you protection. It's wrote up here on the wall. Everything's wrote on the wall. Everything that God has for you that you think that you can get on your own, God's already got it. It's just people are not willing to deny themselves. They still want the power to make their own decision. Now, God's not going to argue with you about fruit snacks. But God will undoubtedly pick you a mate and pick you a direction in life that you're supposed to follow. But He's never forced a soul to do anything. See, the gate is open. He wants people to come in. He wants people to follow Him. But He doesn't want you to resent Him for it. That's why He gives us the option to choose Him. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't want you to resent Him for what He requires. That's why He allows you to choose Him. And lastly, the gate is a symbol of salvation. Whose salvation? Salvation from Christ. Salvation in Christ is the only way people will escape the torment that Pete talked about. Remember what he said. You're always welcome here. That's where safety is. That's what the gate represents. Salvation from Christ is the only way, or in Christ, salvation in Christ is the only way that people will escape torment. How many of you ever burnt yourself? I got a trick question for you guys. How many of you are afraid of the dark? It's okay. All right. What's in my hand?
Dark.
You scared of what's in my hand? So are you afraid of the dark or not? No, hold on. Okay. I'll throw it on you. Okay. Okay, how many of you are deathly afraid of being alone in the dark? Okay, it's okay to say that I am. It's okay. So inside my hands there is no light. Are you afraid of what is in my hands? So let me tell you this. Are you afraid of the dark, or are you afraid of what you cannot see? So what you're telling me is you're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of the unknown. If you are afraid of the unknown, and you're now realize that you're not afraid of the dark, you're just afraid of what you cannot see, why in the world would you spend any of your life not dedicated to God? Because I'm afraid of the unknown too. That's why I trust in Christ. It's because now I know Him. People are willing to go out into eternity every single day not knowing what it's like. And they live this life right here like they have no fear of it. See, I can speak to you guys because you're smart. You're not dummies. You're still at an age to where you'll be receptive. You're still at an age where I can say something to you, the Spirit of God can speak to you, and you'll listen. But as life begins to move on and you get older and older and older, you'll get to the place where you won't listen at all because you know too much. How many of you are hard-headed? How many of you are liars? How many of you are liars about being hard-headed? See what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to be one, right? So if you're hard-headed and Christ comes up to you and says, let me take what I'm giving you, 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 over and over and over, and we keep saying no, 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 what do we expect? You think Christ offers it forever? He doesn't. Salvation in Christ is the only way people escape torment. Let's look at a different gospel. Let's look in the book of Luke, and we're getting ready to wrap it up. I think the band's going to come up. Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36 says this right here. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all things, but shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. See, that's an absolute, folks. That's coming one way or another. I want you to hear me when I say this, because the last thing I want to do is spend eternity separated from you. Jesus says, watch always, because there'll be a day that you'll stand in front of Jesus and you will be weighed based on your good and your bad if you do not have Him as Savior. Christ is the only way people will escape. How many of you are good people? Is anybody in the room a good person? You know what you're telling me? That you've fallen short. You're telling me you're in desperate need of a Savior. To some, it is funny. To some, it is sad. To be saved is to choose Jesus and have them rescue them from their sin punishment. Mom and dad and teachers and preachers can't save you from hell. They can pray for you hardcore. But the reality is Jesus is the only way. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus isn't calling innocent people to repentance. Jesus is calling the broken and the sinful. He's calling the people to salvation that are broken, not the people that have it figured out. The gate is open to sinners. The gate is open to those who need to repent. And salvation is at hand. But Jesus is calling the people who have fallen to come to Him. Stand to your feet, please. It's the most important time of a service. You can't get any more important of a time than this. It's an opportunity. What is this? The gate is open. God is speaking to people. People need to learn how to get real with God. And because it's open and we're trying our very best to be disciples for the Lord, to go out and to speak on His behalf. But let's be honest, largely we're failing. So what's missing? Sometimes the relationship with God to begin with. You want to be a warrior for God? Surrender to God and be saved. God will make you the warrior. You don't have to make yourself the warrior. God's speaking to people tonight. Now's the most important time we're going to have tonight, and we're going to go to my house. So if God's spoken to you tonight, listen to my words. If God has spoken to you tonight, to tell Him no is one more time that He's offered and that we've said no. So I'm going to step away, and these altars of this church are always open. If you want to pray, come down and pray. If someone goes and you want to help them, go with them, help them pray. Young ladies, we're going to stay with young ladies. Young men, we're going to stay with young men. If you've got questions and you want to speak to me or Brother Tommy or even Matthew when he's done, please come get us. If God's spoken to you tonight, the altar's always open.